Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today. We're taking your calls, 410-662-8780, or email us, foremanwolf@wipr.org. And we want to talk about when you have to cook for a crowd. We cook for crowds all the time.
Yeah.
In commercial situations, but we know that folks look forward to, they plan, they organize, they have their go-to recipes. We'd love to hear about some of those.
Definitely.
Also, if you have a spectacular story about a particular flop when you had an event going on and you need to vent about it.
Get it off your chest.
The bad advice
this horrible
that you got
experience.
From clearly some other source than us. you can let us know, 410-662-8780. But we can help you with that stuff, I think.
You know, it's funny. In the restaurant business, you know, we actually cook for each person. We may do 150 people in an evening, but we cook each plate of food individually. So it's the only time we cook for lots of people is when we do employee meal or staff meal, family meal, whatever you want to call it.
Interesting. We were training someone this week in one of the Italian restaurants. And there was a large group that was in. And we had to make, and this is someone who's never worked in the kitchen, who's training as a manager, need a kitchen experience. And she was tasked and instructed all along the way with making a risotto for 56 people.
Which is a lot of risotto.
Which is more than one person's risotto.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's true. And banquets. We also do banquets as well. But
so she said the most significant arm workout of her
That's a lot of
young
yeah,
life.
That's
yeah.
a huge amount of risotto. That's funny. Well, and what a great experience.
She had
too.
To switch hands with the spatula back and forth.
Well, and risotto is a great way to feed people because it's inexpensive and you can add basically anything you want to it. But that, and
it holds heat. I mean,
yeah,
that's
and
the
you
other thing.
Exactly. And, you know, you certainly don't want it to overcook. But one of the other great dishes is paella. I mean, you know, you've seen these photographs of these small villages where there's this just massive, gigantic. I can't even imagine who makes these pans in the middle of the village that feeds like hundreds and hundreds and or however many people. That's so cool.
You've seen monster pans that we've used in the past to make arroz,
ours,
la bomba,
yeah.
or paella in restaurants. I took one of those monsters home to cook for a crowd for my daughter Dell's first birthday.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Right? And there are complicated nutritional situations within the family.
Okay.
So there is a vegan. There are two persons who are, celiac disease. So to come up with a main course, I'm like, I'm not making two things.
No, or three.
And it was November, and so we're coming to the time of the year. So I made an arroz, it's not impossible to do. It just takes constant work, probably an hour and 20 minutes to do a really big one. This is a pan for 65 people, this rice.
Yeah, it's so great.
It took the entire, I have a commercial six-top burner in my kitchen. It took the entire burner. And so, you know, it's oil in the pan, heat moderate, maybe just under medium. Get the garlic and shallots and some rosemary and a little bit of dried chili in that oil.
Oh, yum.
Flavor the oil, flavor the pan. Then the rice goes in. You're going to toast that. And that was, it was just about a kilo sack of, or 2 kilo sack of that.
La Bamba.
La Bamba, the great Calasparra rice from Spain.
So good.
And you can buy this stuff from La Tienda, I think.
Right.
And other sources online now.
That was La Tienda.
La Tienda. So, and what you want to do is toast that rice in that oil that has all that great flavor already in it. And it already begins to get perfume from the rosemary and the chili, which is great. You can't burn that stuff. And then going in there before the stock, there was lots of pumpkin.
Oh, fun.
Sweet roasted peppers. One or two hotter peppers, Calabrian chilies, and fresh white beans, you know, that just come at that time of the year.
Yes.
Little cannellinis.
And
mushrooms, creminis that have been grilled and, you know, just on like kebabs.
Okay.
Or spiedini, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And that in that pan, making all of that pan taste great. making that rice taste great, making the perfume come into it, and then you start with the stock.
Mm-hmm. What stock did you use?
It was a chicken stock reinforced with mushroom stems.
That sounds good. Yeah, I think one of the big things about paella,
please
too, is that when...
Please don't tell the... No. Yeah, no, I would have been strict about it.
It would have just been mushroom stock.
It would have been mushroom stock, yeah.
You don't add any butter or cheese. That's one of the big differences between making risotto, Italian, which is an Italian preparation, versus paella.
Well, and one of the and your goal texturally is different. You know, you're looking for at least... There are a couple of different variations. The one that I like to make the best... It has a little bit of a crispy bottom on that rice, so you get something almost a little crackery in the bottom of the pan, and you get something much more fluffy and you know, a little moist.
It's not creamy. That's truly the biggest difference. You
it's
know,
not
besides
creamy.
Right, it's not creamy. The whole point of making risotto is making it creamy, and working the rice in such a way, and you're adding fat to it. You're probably going to finish risotto with cheese, which is obviously going to make it creamy,
and you're gonna
butter.
And you've already worked the starch out of that rice. You're not trying to work the starch out of.
Right.
Of the rice when you make a paella.
Yeah, there's less stirring with paella. I mean, you're just kind of letting it settle.
Well, that's why everything has to happen in the pan before the liquid gets there to set the table for the liquid to come, cook the rice, and for all those flavors to set.
Yeah, because indeed I use the same exact rice, La Bamba, to make risotto. So it's interesting that you can make paella from a rice. Right. You can make the paella and not have it be creamy, and you can make risotto and have the rice become creamy. So it's all in, as you said, it's in the method and the technique.
So we have our first email today, and you can reach us on the phone if you want to talk about what it is you have going on for a crowd. 410-662-8780. And this email is from Charlie in Towson. My birthday is in October, and I always like to host friends and family and make a big feast. I always grill meat, but a number of my friends don't eat meat. I'm wondering if you have suggestions for vegetarian sides using what will be in season in the next few weeks.
Well, we're going to have lots of squash coming in, so you could do something with butternut squash. You could roast the squash, take it out of the hull, and mix it with a little bit of butter, cinnamon, maybe a tiny bit of honey. Or if they're vegans, you know, just skip the butter. But yeah, any sort of earthy seasonings, you could even add curry to something like butternut squash once it's roasted, or you could slice it and saute it and season it in the pan. But butternut squash, spaghetti squash loves butter, a little bit of gently cooked garlic, salt and pepper, very simply done. And
if you want to do something lighter, you can do literally kebabs with pumpkin, with mushrooms, with peppers. There are little shishito peppers and some padrones if you want to play spice roulette.
That you can get them.
That you can get now, or little sweet yummy peppers. That's the silliest name ever, but it's the truth.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with a padrone pepper, for some bizarre reason, some of them are ungodly spicy. Sorry for using that word, but they are. They're just crazy spicy. And
you can say spicy.
Like...
It's okay. So it's public radio. You can say spicy.
Some of them are not. And you just don't know. It's kind of fun, actually. I love padrone peppers. The first time we went to Spain, we had, like 18 padrone peppers laid out on a plate for us while we were having this incredible Iberico ham and pan con tomate and all these wonderful things. And that I will never forget, you know, having that experience. They're so delicious. And they're just slowly roasted with olive oil and salt and pepper and incredible padrone peppers. Gorgeous. Yeah.
I've got one other email here. This is regarding last week's program, so we should catch it up. Last week's program is about wine, and the subject, Prosecco. Because I love reading the Commissario Brunetti mystery novels of Donna Leon, which are set in Venice, I enjoy Prosecco. What can you tell me about this wine, and what food might a vegetarian choose that would be complemented by the Prosecco? I can tell you the first thing that comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I love little fried things. With a glass of sparkling, especially something that's a little bit sweet.
Yeah.
Little tempura vegetables of the season would be great. Peppers, onions, mushrooms. Not a vegetable, but mushrooms are great actually to do tempura.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do a quickie.
Zucchini also. Yeah, zucchini. For the batter, it's a little bit of baking powder, baking soda, sparkling water. We use cake flour and salt and often put lemon zests in. It just kind of perfumes it a little bit because it, you know, a beautiful tone. We often use that batter for fish, which is really why we put the lemon zest in, but it would be good with vegetables as well, of course.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, honestly, a little, and green beans.
Oh my gosh, so good. I love haricot vert in tempura
or
batter.
Or even just like, you know, like and nice zucchini. Fat local green beans are great.
Definitely.
Great.
Oh, definitely. Way. Sure. Absolutely.
Come up with some sort of a mayo-y something and...
You're set.
You can bless it as aioli of some sort by seasoning it in some direction, and you've got something.
So cooking for crowds.
Yeah. So here is an email. Eugene in Parkville. No, that we're getting the emails. We need someone to step up and give us a call, 410-662-8780. So I pretty much, and I'm, should I do voices for the different emails?
Go for it. Do it. Let's hear it. No. Oh, okay.
So I've been shut down officially.
No.
So I pretty much never cook for a large group, but I'm often a member of that large group that someone is cooking for. My question is, what are one or two things that I can offer to do to help the person who is cooking for the crowd? Or maybe more importantly, what are one or two things that I should not do to stay out of the way?
That's first of all, that's super nice, and I love that somebody would say that.
Oh, I know you have feelings about this.
No,
I
just love that people. I love that that person wants to help. It's hard. I mean, I know that.
This is a person avoiding getting yelled at, which I greatly respect.
The best person that has ever helped me in my home is the wife of a chef. I mean. And that was Marcela Vasquez, my chef that I learned from when I worked in Charleston. And when she came to visit me last year, oh my gosh, I'm just like, oh God, I now know that you are the wife of a chef, because she did everything that I needed her to do to help me, was not in my way in any way, and was just so intuitive. And she'd obviously been, you know, like basically trained by Marcelo, you know, as to what to do to be helpful. And I think, you know, it's often just, you know, not a lot of talking. I know for me, I don't chat when I'm cooking at home. I realize that that's probably unusual because I'm a professional chef.
No,
and
I'm
the
same.
Like, I don't talk when I'm at work, so I certainly am not going to talk. Yeah, actually, that's the hard part for me, is that when you're supposed to be socializing in your kitchen with these people that you've invited over, I really don't want anybody to talk to me. Leave me alone. Let me do my work, and then I'll come out and talk to you.
Yeah, the basic problem with me being the entertainer, quote unquote, is if I'm doing the food.
Yeah, you.
Don't come near me. I'm going to be brutally honest about it.
Yeah.
Don't come near me. Don't touch my things.
Okay, this is not answering the person's question.
But the thing that can really help for me, it seems like in a home there's never enough sink space.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to knock out some dishes,
that totally.
If you want to keep things clear,
that's the best thing you can do.
I mean, that makes a giant difference.
Oh my gosh, that's my least favorite part
and
about
that
cooking at home.
That actually speeds you up. By the time you explain, would you chop this in such and such a fashion, and watch them take a couple of fingers off? Okay.
Which you don't really want to have happen to your guests.
Which the emergency room run will definitely slow down the whole process. You know.
Oh gosh.
And just hold it up high with the ice.
I agree. Dishes. Yeah. Dishes, that's the greatest thing in the world.
Getting things out of the way that you no longer need.
Well, and also at home, God knows you're going to need that pan again. You're going to need that because you don't have 8,000 things at home like we do at the restaurant. So that's one of my biggest frustrations is, guess what? I need that bowl again, like right now. Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think, you know, just kind of being there and being quiet and just, you know, hey, would you do that? And, you know, I'm not going to ask you, as you said, I'm not going to ask somebody to chop something or actually cook something for me, but I may ask you to assist me in some way,
right?
Which is great.
The other thing that's super helpful is when people just say, would you take 30 seconds, talk me through what needs to happen for silverware and plates and, you know,
all front of the house
table
stuff.
Set. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
And they,
yeah,
and they
I,
can
I
take
love
care
it when,
of that.
Oh, yeah, because
great.
I used
Which
to have you.
Would you like put
this,
up?
This is my biggest problem. You and I were married for a while, and oh my gosh, you always did the front of the house stuff. And when I stopped having you around, I'm like, oh God, there's no one doing the front of the house stuff. Somebody needs to set the table.
Well, I did the front of the house stuff, and I did the food you didn't like.
What? Say that again? Say that again?
I did the front of the house stuff and the food you didn't like.
No, that's not true. I always liked your food. What I didn't like was when you burned the hell out of all of my pans. Uh-oh.
sometimes
you're
trying to get a
sear. Only thing I didn't like.
Sometimes you want to get a sear on something.
Yeah,
okay?
Well, that's like called burning.
When we come back, we're surprised. We're live. You can reach us 410-662-8780 or email us foremanwolf@wipr.org. We're meant to be talking about cooking for a crowd. We'd love to hear any of your secret recipes that help you get through those things. I'd like to hear about someone's like fantastic layered bean dip.
We want to hear from you. Oh, definitely.
I don't have the patience for that. I'd love to know how to do that quickly and simply.
There you go.
Anyway, reach us here on WIPR, 410-662-8780. Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
Chef Cindy Wolf.
We're talking about cooking for crowds,
mm-hmm.
and we're live today, 410-662-8780. You can reach us. I know we have a few people waiting with calls. I do want to clarify one thing, though.
Uh-oh.
I did not burn your pans.
Yes, you did.
No.
Yes, you did. What did you do then?
I marked off the meat in the pans that needed to be marked off.
You like to sear. You set off a lot of smoke detectors, and you really like to sear things well,
yes,
which
do.
I appreciate, but I don't like cleaning the pans afterwards.
Do you like eating that food?
Yes. Tony, you're a very good cook, but you do like high heat.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying I don't want to clean your pans. I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore.
You're welcome.
Anyway. So I will say, even as a professional chef, I find it a challenge to cook at home. I do. I'm a very honest, straightforward person. I don't like cooking at home. I have always tried to make all of my kitchens as professional as they can be. In other words, I have stainless steel tables that are just like the restaurant in my kitchen at currently. I have basically a stove that's pretty much like a commercial stove. I have a commercial sink in my kitchen. I have a marble top table. So, I mean, I have made my kitchen and it's not that big. That's the other thing. My kitchen's not small, but it's pretty small.
But I mean, this is the real world. People come to your house and they, you know, come grab a glass of wine and stand there in the kitchen and talk to you.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, go into the another.
I've tried to become a kinder, gentler, more social cook as time has gone along.
The thing
that mostly allows me to do that is planning the right stuff. If I have to do too many critical things, then I'm definitely more likely to be jerky. And
well,
I apologize to all the people to whom I've been a jerk to before in the kitchen.
I definitely tried to do as much ahead. I mean, that is the whole game plan. And I mean, my mother did that when she cooked for the family. I mean, yeah. I think that's what everyone does is you try to get as much done ahead, and that's where you're smart.
Let's go to a phone call. Greg in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, Greg. How are you today?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Sure.
So I just have a very practical question. Mm-hmm. I've heard... I love your show, and I've heard you talk a lot about fresh local seafood and some of the meat and butchers in the area. But I just wondered if you had any specific suggestions for where we could find this fresh local meat and seafood, because I know I have a little bit of trouble finding reliable suppliers.
And you're in the Baltimore area, right?
In the city, yes.
Okay.
I live in Cowles Point.
Okay. So for me, because I now live out in the county, I have to say Wegmans is the greatest grocery store for seafood. I mean, we have a lot of places. I think that Eddie's does a good job in Roland Park, and there's another location on Charles Street further down.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is in my experience, I actually typically don't buy seafood at the grocery because if I'm going to cook seafood at home, which is rare, I don't like the smell of seafood in my house when I have guests, to be perfectly honest. But if I'm going to cook seafood, I'm going to bring it from the restaurant, which, you know, I pay for it and just bring it in. But I have gotten some wild shrimp at Wegmans and really some other really, really good looking seafood in the case. Their butcher department is excellent. And also I would say Grouse has a good butcher department as well. So, you know, I wish I could say some great little local butcher shop. Oh, yes. And there's one out on, there's a great butcher shop. Actually, there are two butcher shops. One, and I can't think of the name of it right now. I'm very sorry to say it's at the corner of Falls Road and Shawan. Those guys do a great job there. I can't believe I can't think of the name of it, but you'll figure it out. And and the place in Belvedere Square has a very good butcher shop. Is it called?
Cherry Yellow.
That one. Yes. They do a great job as well. So those are two independent butcher shops that do really good work.
The reality, now it's funny, because seafood I would buy for home would be very different from you, because mostly I'd buy fish, not shellfish. And and the thing is, if you know how to, if you're worried about fresh first and foremost, you have to go to markets where they have whole fish sitting there on ice to find it. And there's not a lot of that in the city. You can go to Fadley's and Lexington Market and find fish there. You can also ask a grocery store that's convenient to you to order things in. You know, you can get, if you want branzino, you can get farm-raised branzino. If you want local rockfish, you really got to watch the seasons. And you're a whole lot more likely to find that kind of thing going all the way east of Baltimore and head out to Essex and just look for the small seafood shops that are available. They're really not far from the water. But that's, and my dad has a secret crab and rockfish purveyor. So.
Greg, the place on Shawan and Falls Road is called John Brown's Butcher Shop.
Perfect.
If you want to check it out. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Have a good day. That's a good question. Sourcing is, I mean, honestly, for chefs, sourcing is one of the most important things. You know, I work hard all the time to find the best place I can, to find the best food I can, wherever that is that it may come from, whether it's from Europe or Central America, wherever it is, or locally. You know, that's always the challenge. You can't make great food unless you start with great product.
That reminds me, I have interesting local product on your Chef's Challenge coming up.
Good. That's great.
Last segment of the show. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
Which I think you'll completely enjoy this Chef's Challenge.
Are we doing the Chef's Challenge now?
No.
Okay. I'm just thinking about it.
Trying to build up a little tension for you. That's all.
You know, I think one of the greatest things for a large group is braised product, because when it comes down to it, all you're doing is heating it up. So, you know, braised food is one of, and you can braise so many different things. And also braised food are the less expensive cuts of meat. That's what you braise.
You know what's super duper easy?
Hmm.
Braising something and polenta. Because both you can make it.
I love polenta.
And
so
then
much.
Just heat it back up.
All right. So for polenta, I use polenta stone ground from Anson's Mill in Charleston, South Carolina. And we do 1 cup of polenta to 4 cups of cream or water or stock or whatever it is that you want to cook it in.
And people can order
polenta
or grits
online
from
Anson's Mill.
And peas and whatnot from Anson's
Mill. They have amazing amount of
Anson apostrophe S Mill.
Right. And the polenta and my favorite is with cream. And we put a little bit of salt and pepper in, and when you're using the real thing that's not been processed in any way, you cook it very slowly on low heat. You stir it. You have to stir it constantly. You do not want it to stick to the bottom of the pot. As we always say, you have to be in a heavy bottom pot, stainless steel preferably. We use a copper pot with stainless steel lining to make our polenta, and it does take about 40 minutes. It takes about 40 minutes to make our creamy grits as well, which we use milk, but it's the same ratio. It's four cups of milk to 1 cup of grits and a little bit of salt.
But once the polenta is made,
it's ready to go.
Yeah, and you could do that a day ahead.
Oh, definitely.
And bring it right back with a little bit of milk.
Yeah,
and
just
butter.
Cool it down properly. If you're going to make it the day ahead, make sure you put it in a long, pan so that it can cool down quickly, because it's dense, and it you want it to cool down as fast as possible. So,
this is Formula Wolf Live on WYPR. Give us a call, 410-662-8780, or email us formulawolf@wypr.org. Still looking for your magical recipes for when you entertain a large crowd. Maybe it's a big tailgate secret, or you had the great idea for the graduation party last year.
Have you ever
year.
Tailgated? I've never done that. I don't go to.
Yes, I have tailgated.
Uh-huh. What did you serve?
I I was entertained.
Ah, okay. All right. Thoroughly. I was thinking ceviche would be good for tailgating. I know I talk about ceviche all the time, but that would be fun. Nice and refreshing.
I really don't know.
Anybody that does ceviche for tailgating?
Yeah. If you do ceviche for tailgating, please give us a call, 410-662-8780, because otherwise I'm going to ridicule Cindy off the air mentioning that.
All right, so what kind of food do people do for tailgating then? Like
simple grill stuff.
Do they bring grills?
Yes.
Wow, that's
they bring grills.
Wow, I'm going to go tailgating.
They bring like smokers and all kinds of crazy barbecue equipment.
Oh, by the way, you know how we did a show and I said I'd never had ramen noodles? Somebody brought me, one of the guests brought me a package of ramen noodles to the restaurant the other night. I'm like, that is awesome.
Did you cook them with cream?
No. Or butter. I haven't eaten it yet. I will.
We have an email here from a guest, or a listener, I should say. Kim in Columbia. I am babysitting my 6-year-old nephew tonight. I love the kid. We have a lot of fun together, but the mood sinks when it's time for dinner. He will, all caps, only eat chicken nuggets and french fries.
Oh, no.
I don't want to force him into trying things he doesn't want, but I want to take the opportunity I have with him to introduce him to some of the amazing foods that are out in the world.
Sure, that's awesome.
Any suggestions of how to sneak in new foods or reimagine the chicken nuggets and french fries menu? Is he just too young for the great food adventure that awaits him? Okay, I live with this every day.
I was going to say, you have children. This is yours.
So the first girl eats kind of everything in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, she... Calamari off the plancha? Yes. Octopus? Mm-hmm. Yes. All kinds of fish? Absolutely.
That's so great.
Pasta with, with botarga.
botarga.
Olives and every God bless the thing.
That's amazing. That's cool.
Doesn't like spicy.
I take it the second thing, doesn't child like doesn't do the same thing.
The second one, the traditional solid proteins like chicken or fish or meat, no interest.
Uh-oh.
We'll definitely catch it. Like if you sneak it into a dish, like you put it in the couscous or something, a little tiny bits of chicken or... No. The couscous, the machine will process the couscous, but it will reject the chicken, if you follow me. Which is, since you're pointing out spots on my shirt, you can understand how these things happen. So it,
she like spits it at you?
She will eat pizza.
That's not good for her.
She will eat pasta. Mm-hmm. And so far, a variety of pasta, so that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
She loves beans.
Me too.
She likes quinoa.
So far, you haven't mentioned any vegetables.
No.
No. Oh, boy.
No.
Uh-huh.
No. Yeah, it's complicated. And you know what? Broccoli. Mm. Both of those girls love broccoli.
One.
The one vegetable I hated when I was a kid was broccoli.
Mm.
Anyway, we've got callers. So I don't know that... thank you for giving me a chance... Kim in Columbia, it's a vent, but I don't know that I have a solution for you, except that you can't trick kids. You can put stuff out. You can let them try it. You just can't get your feelings hurt when it doesn't go over.
I would keep trying.
And sometimes it's even like they try it and say, you know what, if you eat 3 bites of that, here's X, which is something that you like.
Mm-hmm.
The everything fried thing, that is probably a dangerous thing. I mean, it's great to have fried stuff for a treat, that's for sure.
Yeah, but not... all the time.
But not, yeah. Honestly. But for all meals, that's very tough. Okay. And maybe we have a caller who may have information to help much more than I can. Julia in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hey, Julia, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry, didn't hear you. The person who is babysitting the young child.
Mm-hmm.
Reverse psychology works really, really well for young children.
Mm-hmm.
You fix something and you say, you can't have this because it's only for adults.
That's awesome. Love it.
And
Julie,
and
you're a genius and very cruel.
Then you can kind of say, well, maybe I can let you have one bite, but this is really for adults.
That's awesome. I love it.
That's,
thanks, Julia.
That's
smart.
It's not
wisdom.
It's not every day that you have a truly dangerous person calling in. That's really well done. Let's go to Gene in Falston.
Hey, Gene. You're on the air.
Hey.
How are you?
I am well. How are you all?
Good.
So for me, part of the work of August and September is putting up tastes of summer for winter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And this year in particular, so we do many things, pickle, peppers, you know, blah, blah, blah. This year there have been so many tomatoes seconds, and mm-hmm. I cannot pass up a half bushel of tomatoes mm-hmm. for the life of me.
Sure.
And my call is this. So there are now, I realize, five ways that I've been doing this. So ratatouille, mm-hmm. A great switch on that with eggplant, artichoke hearts, and olives. What I would call just a simple sauce, which is almost like diced tomatoes, just a little more cooked down so they can be, you know, done on anything. What we call mama sauce, which is tomato, basil, tons of garlic, and then roasted. So those are my five go-tos of what freeze well. And it's like, and there's still more tomatoes. Any ideas?
Hmm. Do you ever jar them up and preserve them?
No, we just, you know, it's funny because I pickle a bunch of peppers, but I don't like to jar and preserve. I do like to freeze.
Hmm. I don't have anything off the top of my head because I think you've hit some pretty good categories there.
You hit a lot of good categories. I'm a big time jar and preserve. Mm-hmm. And in our house, we make a number of different kinds of sauce and tomatoes in different applications. And we're talking this morning about, I just got one more case of nice Romas to make sauce, but
maybe you just change up your herbs. You are already using basil. Maybe you use a little bit of rosemary. Go with a different. Maybe you add and you know, I think you said peppers, but you know, maybe you make a different type of sauce for maybe you're going to use it to cook fish or something like that, slow roast fish. And so maybe thinking in terms of red onions, a little bit of red onion, a little bit of rosemary, put some extra virgin olive oil in there with the tomato and season it well. And, you know, maybe just going in different flavor directions because, I mean, I like the idea that you said you do just sort of simple tomatoes so that you're prepared to do anything with it. I think that's really smart. But yeah, that's the only thing I can say. Or you make some sort of a soup, you know? Yeah, and then just freeze that. I mean, you could make a tomato soup, and that would be nice to just be able to pull out of the freezer for sure.
Shrimp stock is awfully easy to make. You can make a tomato soup with a shrimp stock base.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so then, Tony mentioned you mentioned preserving things, which I just like. I don't know.
I get it.
I'm big on the hot water bath.
Gene, I totally get it. I do not preserve at my. I don't either. It freaks me out. I'm kind of concerned about the whole process. You know, you have to be so careful. I'm not saying don't do it.
No,
I'm just
no,
saying
and
I get it.
Peppers. And my question is would just about anything that I might look up that could be preserved as a sauce work frozen? Would they freeze equally well?
You know, freezing breaks things down. That's the only problem with freezing. If you put something in a jar, it's going to be pretty much exactly the way you put it in the jar.
That's the amazing difference.
Yeah. So that's why people preserve. And I want to be clear. I'm all for preserving, but I'm with you on the sort of I don't really want to.
the guys that make the jars, they have a terrific guide. They keep it very safe.
Yeah.
And they have equipment and a great big pot that helps get that done.
Yeah, I have that book.
I opened yesterday morning to make a sandwich for one of my daughters, red raspberry conserve that we'd made last year. Oh, my gosh, it smelled unbelievably good.
That's cool.
She freaked. I mean, just as good as the moment that it was that was crushed in the first place. It was just amazing.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
So here's my request because, Cindy, you just said I have the book.
Right.
I'm going to challenge myself maybe next year to move into the preserve place.
Go for it. Yeah, just read it.
Having that book would be a great thing, and I'll just get my husband, who's not quite as afraid of boiling water as me.
There you go. Well, that'll be fun. It'll be fun to do it together. And it takes a team. I think, you know, it would be helpful to have two people working on it together. But thanks for the call, Gene. Appreciate it.
By the way, one fun thing to pickle you may not have thought of. You're going into the season for mustard greens. Mature mustard greens, mm-hmm. great to pickle with a lot of garlic and ginger as well.
That sounds
just
good
as a
time.
Fun condiment. Anyway, when we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, we are still live. We have a couple of calls waiting. We're going to get to as soon as we come back. 410-662-8780 to get through. FormulaWolf@WYPR.org is the email. And in the third segment, we'll see if Cindy can survive the chef's challenge. All of that and more on WYPR. Welcome back to Formula Wolf on Food and Wine. We're live today. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
You can reach us 410-662-8780. We have a few folks waiting. Or email us foremanwolf@wypr.org. And we're talking mostly about cooking for a crowd. Mm-hmm. And I'd actually like to go to the caller who's right on topic, Maureen and Frederick.
Hey, Maureen, you're on the air. How are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, the tomato thing is what got me to call in, but I love making eggplant caponata for a crowd, and it's good caponata. As an appetizer over pasta, with fish, with meat. I love it. It's always a crowd pleaser. It's easy to make a big batch of it. I don't know how well it freezes because I've never done that, but jarring, I'm sure, would work.
What's in your recipe?
So it's usually I do use like canned peeled tomatoes and eggplant, and then I do balsamic vinegar, Spanish olive. So first roast the garlic and the onion, and then finish it off with the pine nuts, and it has this, I don't put anything sweet in it. Some people do, besides the balsamic, but it has just a great natural sweetness. Every batch tastes a little bit different, but it's just so delicious, and I just think the secret is simmering it for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And even just like putting on some great crusty bread or, there's so many things you can do with it.
That's great. Well, thank you for sharing that, Maureen. That's awesome.
Thank you, Maureen.
Have a good Sunday.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, bye. All right. Are we going to talk to Eric and Maria? This is exciting. Is this two people at the same time?
Yeah. Eric and Maria, go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much. I want to thank you for your contributions to the culinary scene and also our personal kitchen efforts.
Thanks.
We were wanting to know a little something about jazzing up a piece of leftover salmon, but we also recognize the cooking for a crowd. So Maria would like to know what you might do with large batches of roasted green chili.
Large batches of roasted green chili. Well, for some reason, chicken is immediately coming to my mind. Yeah, just if you did, you could either do the thighs, which I prefer. I think Tony probably does too. But, kind of grill those, lay them out on a platter with preserved chilies would be so good. A little bit of fresh tomato if you've got it, or preserved tomato if you're coming up on that. And
you need chickpeas.
I love chickpeas. And chickpeas have a long cook time, by the way. You definitely
and they need salt.
Yeah, you definitely, if you're going to make chickpeas or garbanzo beans or chechi, whatever you want to call them, rinse them off very, very well, clean them well, and then soak them overnight. You can either leave it out on the counter or put them in a lot of water in the refrigerator, and then cook them slowly the next day. I would add garlic and probably tomato to that, and definitely onion, shallot. If you eat chicken, well, we're talking about chicken, so chicken stock. You could add some of your peppers to the chechi when you're making them. But yes, definitely. Well, the thing about peppers is they go with a lot of things. But yes, for some reason, chicken came to mind.
Yeah, I mean a little vinegar, a little honey. Mm-hmm. Balance okay. That guy out. Jazzing up the piece of salmon. I'm assuming it's a leftover piece of salmon. That's really not that difficult to something to flake and put together a really fantastic salad. You're at the end of the summer. There's hearty lettuces. There's various kales. There's you can still come up with cucumber that you can or zucchini rather that you can ribbon. There's still cherry tomatoes out on the market. Make a Dijon vinaigrette and maybe a few green olives and flake that salmon in there. And
that's great.
You have a nutritious lunch.
Okay.
Let's go to Lydia in Towson.
Hi, Lydia. You're on the air.
Hi. this is Lydia and Justin.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
We have a yard full of rabbits, and they eat everything that we plant, but we would like to eat them, but not those rabbits.
I really appreciate you, Lydia.
Rabbit meat.
Every time someone has a pet rabbit, I'm like, delicious.
What?
I know. So where can we get it? I've looked at Wegmans and Eddie's.
You're going to have to ask him to order it for you.
Yeah, because I've never seen rabbit in the grocery. No. You know,
yeah,
and you want
can
it to be.
Can they do that? Can they order it?
Yeah.
Well, I would. Yeah, well, ask them. Okay. I mean, I can't answer for them, but certainly ask. But you want to ask for fresh rabbit.
You want domestic. Yeah. You want
domestic
you
fresh
want not
rabbit.
Frozen.
Exactly.
Okay.
And not right. wild. Not
I'll
from your
trying.
Yard, please.
Well.
Thank you. Oh my goodness.
Okay. I'll
thanks,
order
Lydia.
You made my day, Lydia.
Oh.
Bye.
All right. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Chef challenge.
I just, yeah, every time I love rabbits, so every time I see them, enjoy the chef's challenge.
Oh, my God, it's like 1,000 ingredients.
No, it's everything that you need and
what does it say?
More.
Great big lollipop pork chop, 22-ounce wagon wheel.
Mm-hmm. It's Wagon Wheel Ranch in Maryland.
Okay,
good stuff.
The last of the fresh corn, shishito peppers, heirloom eggplant, duck fat, shallots, garlic, celery, carrots, no dairy, extra virgin olive oil, walnut oil, broccoli, Honeycrisp apples, Italian blue plums, thyme, honey, cardamom, breadcrumbs, egg, parsley, clams. Yes, yes. All right, so
clams
I'll steam
the
open
key.
The clams with the thyme, the carrots and celery and
I'm sorry. Your conditions on the side there.
What does that say? You have a deep fry pan and a grill?
Yep.
Oh.
That's the whole thing.
Deep fry. What's a deep fry pan?
Like a big, like, chicken frying skillet.
Oh. Yeah. So I'm still going to steam open those clams with those things and some water because I don't have any stock. And then, meanwhile, the corn, which is roasted in the oven at 350 degrees for about 30 minutes, I'll cut off the cob, saute in this pan, this one pan that I have with the peppers. I will add a small dice of the eggplant to that, and I'll reserve a little bit of the shallot and the garlic, add that at the very end. Toss in walnut oil, which is going to be really pretty with that. And also, by the way, I would have used the parsley with the clams to finish at the end. So finally chop parsley in at the end. And I would have put a little bit of breadcrumb on top of the clams once they came out of the pan. And just a little bit of the herbs that I talked about. So that was back to the clams. And what haven't I used? Cardamom, honey, and Honeycrisp apples. So the apples I will serve with the pork. And I will peel them, dice them in a small dice, toss them with a little bit of cardamom, a little bit of honey, and I don't know what I'm cooking that. Oh, well, apparently I'm cooking those in the pan with the pork. So I'll just put those in with the pork at the very end and then add.
You're not going to use the grill at all.
The broccoli. I'll grill the broccoli and serve that on the side.
Oh,
there you
my
go.
God.
That was it.
Oh, my God.
Here you go, Tony. That was a lot of ingredients.
Yes. Very,
okay.
Very unexpected result. So we have a caller who left us word that they have a rabbit source recommendation. Richardson Farm in Harford County.
Ebenezer Road?
Yeah, Ebenezer Road.
That's
is,
awesome. Thanks.
Is
thanks,
a potential
Elizabeth.
Rabbit source.
Richardson Farm.
So,
okay.
And not your garden, Lydia.
And Tony, your challenge is
My challenge is you give me nothing to cook.
Okay, so this came from...
pork belly.
This isn't from me. This is not from me. I had someone else that is helping us today. I said, you know what?
Rhyme?
Do you want to do Tony's chef challenge?
Pork
and he
belly,
said yes.
Mint jelly, lima, beans.
I added the mint jelly.
Calamari, cilantro, turnip greens. What is going on here? And feta. Okay.
I love Will. Thank you, Will.
He's pretty great. That's the rhyming food ingredients. Pretty super. The pork belly, I'm going to want to marinate in a little bit sweet marinade with some honey and a little bit of red wine vinegar, lots of garlic, salt. I don't have any of these things because they're not on this list.
Yeah, I was going to say you're not allowed to use things that aren't on the list.
But in my mind, I'm going to marinate the pork
aww.
Belly. And then I'm going to get it really crispy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to
crispy question mark
crispy
okay
that
yeah.
just you know
that's the
with,
beauty
with
of pork
a meaningful
belly
pause
mm-hmm.
and then I want to very gently cook the other piece the non-fatty piece But I'm, and then, mint jelly. Wow. I mean, calamari, fine. I need something besides, I can't do turnips and calamari. Lima beans, you could do a salad with a calamari. Actually, you could do a salad with the lima beans and the turnip greens. And the turnips, especially if you pickled those turnips, just a little quick pickle. And did that as a cold garnish for the pork belly. And then deep fry the calamari as rings. And like a little bit of tempura like you were talking about, with lots of lemon zest in the mm-hmm. in the flour.
Mm-hmm.
And with the mint, and I guess you serve it all with the mint jelly on the side. Good Lord. I mean, I can imagine the dish.
That's kind of like when you gave me Oreos, only yeah. Oreos are worse than mint jelly.
No.
That's a lot of just, people like wow. mint jelly, I think.
Okay. Wowee.
All right.
That's all I got for you. That was particular. My brain just goes to, what do you want to drink with it?
So what do you want to drink with the mint jelly?
It's the pork belly and then the mint jelly, okay, and the calamari uh-huh. and the little cold bitter salad that's there, which I'm glad I did the sweet marinade for the pork. I got lucky on that. That's not the easiest. If you wanted a simple white that was budget, you could do a rueda. From north central Spain, that might work. You could, if it's red, red Zinfandel would work. Not one of these monsters, something a little more old school and just expressive, like Fritz or something in that style.
Okay. All right. How about my clams?
Your clams with the thyme?
Mm-hmm.
Something bright light. Maybe Sancerre, something along those lines.
I don't think I said how I was cooking those pork chops. Obviously, I did them on the
grill.
You didn't
cook the pork chops.
I grilled
chops.
Them. I grilled the 22-ounce pork chops on the grill, which you better do low and slow.
Pork tartare by
Cindy
Wolf.
That's a big pork chop.
Well, thanks for listening today. You can reach us, ForemanWolf at WIPR.org, with questions. You can download podcasts. Go to the Foreman Wolf page at WIPR.org and look us up. You can find this and all the other episodes. And if you want to reach, Chef Cindy Wolf on social media.
On Twitter, I'm Chef Wolf. And on, it's on Twitter, I'm Chef Cindy Wolf. And on Instagram, I'm Chef Wolf. I can never remember these things.
I am the real Tony Foreman on Instagram.
The only Tony Foreman in the whole world.
I'm the only one I got.
All right.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening.
And happy Sunday.